Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
It kind of got to be a thing. I don't know, but I trust God. You know, that's just where I've been. I don't know, but I trust God. That's all I know right now. I may not know the answer to my problem. I may not know how to fix something. I may not know the outcome, what's fixing to happen. But I know one thing, I trust God. Amen. So it doesn't matter. None of that other stuff is going to control my life because I trust God. When it looks like my world is falling down around me, I trust God. When it looks like the world is going crazy, and it does look that way, what do you say? I trust God. When my body is screaming symptoms, I trust God. When loved ones are suffering, I trust God. That's all I know, guys. I trust God. I've been talking, you know, as I've talked to people in the kind of recent past, and this may seem like a shallow answer, but hey, it's where I am. And they'll be talking to me. I'll just say, I don't know, but I trust God. I don't know, but I trust God. I trust God. He's faithful. Our kindergartners memorize Psalm 56:3. And it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Our little five-year-olds, they all learn that because they learn a scripture verse for every letter in the alphabet, and that is W, W. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But it goes on to say, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Say, I will not fear.
I will not fear.
We cannot walk in fear. Like I said, do I always feel like it? Nope. I don't always feel like it. But it's not about, like I said, it's not about a feeling. It's about a decision. It's about a decision and where we are going to put our trust. When the psalmist said, what time I am afraid, he didn't say, I'm never afraid. What did he say? When I do feel fear, I'm going to take that feeling of fear and put my trust in you. I'm not going to embrace that feeling of fear and meditate on that feeling of fear and, make that feeling of fear a part of my life. I'm going to trust in you. We got to make that decision. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. When fear comes screaming at me, I will trust in you. I will not allow that to take a part of my life. Christine Kane said, we can't shrink back in fear and move forward in faith at the same time. We cannot shrink back in fear and move forward in faith at the same time. And we are equipped. We're equipped to operate this way. We're equipped to operate in faith. We're equipped to operate void of faith. Say, I'm equipped. You're equipped. God has given you everything that you need. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, this is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, God's power has given us everything. Say everything.
Everything.
What's left?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing's wanting. Nothing's missing. It says he has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowing the one who called us to his own glory and goodness. I preached on that scripture for about a month when we were doing Wednesday nights. Might have been longer. I don't know. But it was for a long time. Because the Bible says he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Like I said, he's given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. He's given us his faith to live in. Christ lives in me. The Bible says he's given us everything we need. So we're not missing anything. What we are missing is developing what we have. That's where we're missing it, in developing what we have been given. So he's given us all the tools to live in faith. But we have to learn how to use them and we have to learn how to maintain them and develop them. You know, we got to believe in them, y'all. We got to believe that it's real. We got to believe that it's really a part of who we are in Christ. I said he's given us his faith. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who produces the power, the love, and the sound mind, the well-disciplined mind in us. And he's given us his word, which is a weapon which we use. So how do we release that faith, and how do we develop that faith? It's by using the word. It's by praying the word. It's by learning the word. It's by speaking the word. It's by declaring the word over our circumstances. That's how we do that. Of course, we got to know the word in order to do that, right? You can't use something you don't know how to use. When Alan was talking last Sunday about the axe throwing thing that we did, I mean, face it, most of it, well, I didn't get to do it because my arm was hurting me, but most of those who hit the target was not out of skill. Most of it was just sheer luck, okay? But you know what? There are people who have practiced that and learned how to use that weapon. And they can throw it and hit the target every time. Why? Because they learned how to use it. Once you learn how to use something, it's kind of like second nature to us. You know, when everybody was trying to learn how to throw that axe, it was great being a spectator and not being laughed at. I love laughing at everybody else. But when you learn how to first throw that axe, I mean, it was a job. You know, they're trying to figure out do I want to use one hand, or I want to use two hands, or I want to step forward? Alan steps forward on his left foot. How many of y'all step forward on your left foot? I would have used my right, but anyway. So doing all that, practicing that, they had to work on it. We've got to learn how to use the tools that God has given us. So when we sense fear, and we're aware of the spirit of fear trying to come on us, what do? We say, no. No, devil. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. I'm not going to entertain that fear. I'm going to walk in the faith that God gives me. No, 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 devil. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. I don't succumb to your tactics. I have the wisdom of God on the inside of me. No, 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 devil. I have the spirit of faith dwelling on the inside of me, and I release that faith for God to work all these things out to my good. That's what we do. We speak the word. What does that do? Not only is that a weapon against the devil, it builds us up on the inside, to where we're not in that cringing and fawning fear that the Amplified Version talks about, but we get bold on the inside and we're saying, I got this. Yeah. Oh yeah, I got this. And we move forward in what God has for us. One of the things Alan talked about in that scripture, he's given us a spirit of power, was that the word power is dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite from, but it's miracle working power. It's the power of God. But another definition for that word dunamis is able or achieving power. Able or achieving power. In fact, every word that begins with the word D-U-N-A, duna, has the meaning of being capable and being able. So if he has given us this spirit of power, this dunamis power, this miraculous working power, it is also the power that we are capable and able of using. Just like a stick of dynamite doesn't do any good unless it's got something to ignite it, that power doesn't do any good unless we know how to release it. Amen? We've got to be able to release that power, and we release it in faith, and we release it in faith in God's word and in his faithfulness and who he is, and in faith in what he's given us. If we're not operating in what God has given us, then we aren't living in the capacity that he has created us to live. If we're not operating in what God has given us, then we're not living in the capacity that he has created us to live. Y'all, he has created us to live victoriously. He has created us to live above fear. He has created us to live in boldness and strongness and confidence in who he is in us. Remember Christ in me? He's created us to live that way. But if we're not operating in what he's given us, then we're not operating in what he's created us to live in. I want to go over one more time what he has given us. He has given us the spirit of love. He's already given it to us. You know how we learned that faith is, that healing has already been given to us? It's already ours. We're not out trying to get it. It's our inheritance. It's what he's given us. Well, this is the same thing. He has given us. He already has given us the spirit of love. And the word says that perfect love, what? Casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. He has given us the spirit of power, that a power that we are able to use, that miraculous power, that dunamis power, that God power. He has already given that to us. It's already been imparted into our lives when we became born again. He has given us the spirit of a sound mind. Like I told you, he has given us self-control and discipline over our minds. He has given that to us. And you know, when I made some funny comments about ADHD, but that is a reality in my world. And one thing I have had to learn to do, as I learned it more as an adult than anything, is to how to discipline my mind. Stay on track, stay on track. Finish both eyeliners before you go on to something else, because I walk out the door with one eye with eyeliner, okay? True story. Make sure, go ahead and put both earrings on right now and make sure they match before you walk out that door. But seriously, that's my reality. But learning how to walk in a disciplined mind and overcome those things in my life, I've had to do that. No, just do it right now. Don't put it off. Just do it right now. Because if I put it off, God only knows what's going to happen. So he has given us that sound mind. So why, the question is, why do we fear anything when we have all of this given to us by God? I mean, seriously, that is reality. Why fear anything when we have all this given to us by God? I'm going to talk to you about a few different fears that we all have. But he has not given us a spirit of fear. When faced with circumstances that cause me to be afraid, I have said this over and over again, like I said earlier. And I mean that literally. I have said, God, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound. I don't have a spirit of fear. I do not operate. Literally, either out loud, under my breath, or just in my mind, depending on the circumstances. And if you came to church on Wednesday nights, you've heard me tell these stories probably more times than you care to hear, but too bad. But I wanted to share a few things with you that I had that have caused great fear in my life that were overcoming opportunities. And Josh, do you have that picture of the bridge up there? Maybe I do, maybe I don't. It's there. Where'd Tyler go? Did Tyler leave us? Oh, it's up there? Okay. Is that the bridge?
Yep.
Okay. This is the bridge over the Royal Gorge in Colorado. It's the, I think, the longest suspension bridge in the United States. It's over 1,200 feet above the ground. And it's wooden slats, just to say. So when we went to Colorado, we went there. And I gotta tell you, it took some overcoming faith for me to walk on that bridge. I mean, like, God, you didn't bring me here to let me die. You didn't bring me here to let me die. You didn't bring me here to let me die. God, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love. And I mean, other people are walking on the bridge. It's not caving under them. Why would I think that the second I walk out there on that bridge, it's going to collapse and I'm going to go to the bottom of that gorge? I don't know why, but that's the thought that was bombarding my mind. And I just, that may seem silly to some, but I had to do some major overcoming to walk out on that bridge. And then there's people that think they're funny, like Peter and Josh and Caleb, who decide that they're going to jump up and down while they're on the bridge. Well, you know, and I'm like, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. Over and over and over and over again to do that. But I did it. Praise God, I overcame and I did it. Okay, Josh, show him the next picture of a gondola. Okay, so let me just say this. That looks really great. That was put in 2013. When we went to the Royal Gorge and got in the gondola, it was one rusty-looking round thing that we got into on a cable that I didn't know when the last time that cable had been serviced or taken care of. And so we're going across the Royal Gorge on the gondola, and of course Josh and Peter and Caleb and Alan and Mac decide that they think it'd be cool if the gondola swung just a little bit as it's going over the Royal Gorge. I'm in there going, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear. You have not given me a spirit of fear. You have not given me. You have no idea what an overcoming adventure that whole entire trip was. Oh my gosh. But you know what? I'm so glad that I overcame. Yeah. I'm so glad that I overcame, because every time I overcame a fear, it built courage and confidence that the next thing I would be able to overcome. I wouldn't let it take me. So we went to Honduras, and we flew into Tegucigalpa. I think I say that completely wrong, but anyway. We flew into Tegucigalpa, and last night I got on the internet trying to find some good video of those planes landing there, because it is, I learned last night, the fourth most dangerous airport in the world. In the world. Okay. Oh, by the way, they've done so much work on that, I thought I wouldn't be afraid at all to get on that thing now. But anyway, they've done so much. So I'm looking for videos, and most of them were of the wings of the plane taken from the inside of the plane. And you can see the the embankment as the plane, because it has to go around and in between some mountains that they literally had to blow the tops off of because planes kept crashing into them. Okay. So the couple we were with, Aaron Smith and his wife Robbie, Aaron told us, okay, now, he didn't tell us it's the fourth most dangerous airport in the world, which I'm glad he didn't tell us that, but he did tell us that, oh gosh, you are going to be amazed at this landing. This is really something. He didn't tell us that the airplane literally dives. Because the number one, it has to make this embankment around these, it's kind of in a bowl, and it has to make this embankment around these mountains, but the runway is super short. And so you've got these jets coming in, and they literally, if you watch the videos of when they land, I mean, they just come boom, they just land, and everybody in the entire plane is thrown forward, and you're hanging on to the seat in front of you doing this as this giant jet is barreling down this runway trying to stop, and you're just praying, oh God, let it stop, oh God, let it stop, oh God, let it stop, because at the end of the runway, there's buildings. I'm going, you didn't bring me here, let me die. You didn't bring me here, let me, my God, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love of sound mind. You have not given me a spirit. People do this every single day. I can do it, God. You've got me. And I'm quoting the word on the inside of my mind. Actually, at that moment, I was a little bit out loud because it was scary. It was scary. But you know what? We did it, and I lived through it, and here I am. Hallelujah. Two more little stories I want to tell you, because every one of these stories, every one of these events in my life were contrary to what I wanted to do. And, well, part of me wanted to do it, but there was a louder part of me screaming, saying, ah, you're going to die, you know, and so I had to overcome the part that was telling me I was going to die. So in Honduras, we had to get in a plane and go from one island to another. What was the name of that? Roatan, yeah, left San Pedro Sula and went to Roatan. Great, I'm looking forward to this adventure too. And so we get in the plane and literally, it's duct taped. Literally, down the seams of the top of the plane is duct tape. And I'm thinking, we're in Honduras. This plane does not look like it might take off. And I'm thinking, I don't know when the last time these people changed the oil or did any maintenance on these things. These are Hondurans. There's no FAA person coming in here and inspecting these planes and make sure they're okay. This is just, and I'm just, God, you didn't bring me here to let me die. You didn't bring me here to let me die. You did not bring me here to let me die. Father, you have not given me a spirit of fear. Doing the whole thing over and over and over again. And we made it, praise God. And the plane didn't fall apart. So we went to Hawaii. And Matt decides that he wants to rent motorcycles and ride the island, ride Maui on motorcycles, which to some of y'all that just may sound like a dream come true, but I'm not a motorcycle chick, all right? The thought is pretty cool, but the reality of getting on the back of a motorcycle and riding all over the place, I have to fight that fear. We're gonna wreck, I'm gonna die, we're gonna wreck. And okay, while my husband is very talented and gifted in many, many things, he hasn't, you know, hasn't driven a motorcycle a whole lot. I mean, you know, he was never a biker. And so we got these great big Harleys. I mean, big old things, you know, the kind with the raised seat in the back so that us girls could see where we were going. And we're riding all over Maui, which turned out to be great. I loved it. But I had the first 45 minutes overcome, especially when we were downtown in the city and we're driving and there's cars everywhere. And oh God, I'm thinking we're going to drop this bike. And I just had to say in my heart, God, you have not given me the spirit of fear. You have not given me a spirit of fear. But you have given me a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And y'all, that's how we do warfare. And that's how we overcome those fears in our lives, whatever those fears may be. It's a spirit and it's not from God. It's a spirit and it's not from God. And we have got to grasp that reality. And that same spirit that caused me to be afraid of all those different activities that some people would just want to do, I don't know why, but some people would just want to do, is the same spirit that causes us to be afraid of anything. The same spirit. Romans 14:23 says, "For whatever is not of faith is sin." So if we're not operating in faith, what are we operating in?
Sin.
Okay. So we all deal with some type of fear. Some are controlling fears. Some are, I used to be very claustrophobic. Could have something to do with me not wanting to be in that great big bell thing above the water. But anyway. Some have fears that something's going to happen to them, to their children. Something bad's going to happen to a family member. But nevertheless, we may not recognize some things as fear, but they're fear. So I'm going to name a few fears that we might deal with on a day-to-day basis. Okay? Fear of preaching or giving presentations. How many of y'all have been afraid to stand up in front of a bunch of people? Look, every time I do this, I have to overcome fear. Every time, without fail. And I don't know how many years we've been doing this now. What if I bomb it? What if I don't remember something? What if people think I'm stupid? What if I don't? What if they get bored? What if they get up and leave? What if blah, blah, blah? You know, you have all those fears that you go with. That's fear, and it's not of God. Fear of trying something new at a restaurant. Go ahead and laugh, but how many of y'all? I don't want to try that. I might not like it. I don't want to waste my money and pay for that, and then I'd... Let me just tell you, most of the time if you don't like something, they'll take it back and give you something that you do like. But seriously, what if you don't like it? Oh, well. I mean, you might have just wasted $15, but is that a matter of life and death? Are you going to starve? Try something new. It won't hurt you. Maybe you're going to eat with somebody who will actually give you their food if you hate yours. I don't know. Fear of not fitting in. Every one of us, no matter how old or how young you are, has to deal with that. Fear of not fitting in. What are they going to think about me? What if they reject me? What if they don't like me? What if I look stupid? What if I say something stupid? When Alan first started working at Canaan Land, I was still here at New Life teaching Bible. And so they had their Christmas party, their Christmas get together. And I said, "Alan, what do they wear?" Now, y'all ladies know it's a big deal for us. What do they wear? What do we wear? Marsha, they're all casual. They're going to be in jeans. Not. They were not. I was, but they were not. I walk in and they're all in their little dressy. They had slacks, but they were dressy and sparkly and Christmassy. And I walk in jeans. But you know what? I survived, didn't I? They didn't kick me out. I mean, if they laughed at me, I don't know about it, so I'm okay with that. You know? I mean, seriously, I want you to think about what is the worst thing that can happen with your fear? With whatever that fear is, you might die. Oh, well, you're in heaven. I mean, if that's the worst thing that can happen to you or to me, you might die. I feel sorry for the people I leave behind because they're going to miss me desperately. But other than that, I'm fine. Fear of failure. We all experience fear of failure. What if I don't make it? What if it doesn't work? What if, you know, what if I'm a big failure? So don't try it. No, try it anyway. See if it works. Pray. If you're thinking about doing something drastic, changing jobs or something, pray, ask God's direction. But you know what? What if you do fail? You know, most millionaires or billionaires now have failed many, many times. How many times did Thomas Edison fail? Somebody knows that. How many? Anyway, 1,000, I don't know. He failed way more times than he succeeded. But thank God he kept on going. Thank you, Thomas. All right. Fear of not having control. That's a huge fear and really is the root fear of all the fears that I just told you about. Fear of not having control. Fear of death and not having control. So when you're driving with somebody else and you're used to the one being the driving, women, how do you do when your husband's driving? Because I know he drives different than you. Because my husband drives different than me. Now, he's a good driver, and he's never had a wreck. But it's different from me, okay? Because, see, like, when I'm coming up, and my thing, the sign says, Ann Street 1 mile down, I'm going to go ahead and get in the lane because, you know, I don't want to miss my turn, which is another fear. I don't want to miss my turn. Well, men, most men don't do that, do they? No, they do not. They're going to pass the next four cars to get over and get in that thing before they do that. Got to beat them. They might beat you there. I don't know how that works, but that's how it is. You know, I finally had to learn. My husband does not have wrecks when I am not with him. He certainly isn't going to have a wreck when I am. Just because I'm in the car does not mean his driving got any different than it was when I wasn't in the car. And so instead of slamming on the brakes all the time while he's driving or grabbing the thing, I've just learned to relax. What's the worst thing that can happen? We'll die. I mean, seriously. I mean, I've had to come to that in my life. What's the worst thing can happen? I'll die. You know, so, but rationally, if you just think it through, if he doesn't have a wreck when I'm not with him, he's not going to have a wreck just because I am with him. The fact is, men and women drive different. We just do. You're crazy and more aggressive, and we're cautious and use our right minds. Okay. Fear of making the wrong turn. Y'all may think that's silly, but I have been there. I've been like, I don't want to miss my turn. Oh, gosh, what if I miss my turn? What if you miss your turn? Do you know what? There's another one. I was going to Fort Myers one day, and I took I-10 West. Do you know how many times I have made that trip to Fort Myers? You take I-10 East, not West. I took I-10 West. I'm like, oh, my Lord, I've made the wrong turn. Oh, and my heart starts racing. I'm thinking, oh, this is terrible. Calm down. It's okay. There's another turn. It's inconvenient on the interstate. I'll give you that one. But there's another turn up the road. Just turn around and go back. No big deal. Don't panic. Fear of making a bad purchase. How many of y'all have ever had buyer's remorse or something? When I got my van, I originally wanted a pearly white color van, and I ended up with a dark gray van. So that night I got to bed, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what if I don't like it? I think I hate it. I'm not sure I like that color. And I mean, I was just panicking on the inside, thinking about that crazy van. I love my van. It's great. I'm very, very happy with it. But that night I was all freaked out. What if I made the wrong choice? What if I don't like it? Oh, we paid all that money for that van. And so what if you don't? You know what? You'll live through it. Eventually you'll get another car and life will be good. It's not a big deal. Let's calm down a little bit, okay? Fear of the unknown. That's a huge fear for all of us. Fear of the unknown, the what ifs. I don't know. This may happen. This might not happen. What if? I don't know. You know what? Do we believe that God has our back, or don't we? Do we believe what time I am afraid I can trust in Him? Do we believe that greater is He who's in me than he that's in the world? Do we believe that He's my protector and my provider? Seriously, either we do or we don't. And that's what we got to get down to. Either I do or I don't. One more, fear of getting hurt in a relationship. I don't want to go there because it might not work. What if it does? And what if it doesn't? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I don't think you're going to die from that one. Might die from the car wreck. You're not going to die from a breakup. It hurts. You'll hurt. Somebody will hurt. But you know what? You'll live. You won't die. You'll learn how to live through it, get over it, and keep life going. Joyce Meyer says, courage is not the absence of fear. It is pressing forward in the face of fear. It's not the absence of fear. It's pressing forward in the face of fear. Joyce Meyer says, just do it afraid. You may be afraid, but just do it anyway. We are going to feel fear. And not only do we have an enemy, the devil, who does not want us to become all God has designed us to be, but we have been conditioned to fear. All our lives, we've been conditioned to walk in fear. It doesn't mean we don't feel it. It just means we don't respond to it and we don't let it stop us. We overcome it. We don't have any business entertaining, embracing, or petting fear of any kind, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem. We need to recognize and acknowledge what is behind, what is the motivating force of our emotions and the decisions and our reactions. It doesn't matter. When we allow fear to motivate us in the small things in our lives, we'll allow fear to motivate us in the more important and bigger things in our lives. So even when it's small, even when it's something as small as, you know, I don't know, what if I don't like my food at the restaurant if I try something new? It's okay. Because if we let that fear motivate our decisions, we're going to let it motivate our decisions in other areas in our lives, and we cannot allow that. We have to ask ourselves, am I operating out of the word and the promises of God, or am I operating out of fear? We have to quit saying, I'm afraid. Don't let that come out of your mouth, I'm afraid. Listen, there's a difference between wisdom and fear. Wisdom says, don't get in the pen with the lion because he will kill you. We want to say, oh, I'm afraid of that lion. We recognize the power of that lion, but we're not stupid enough to get in the cage with him. That's not operating out of fear. That's operating out of wisdom. Recognize the difference between wisdom and fear. There are some things people might want to challenge you to do, and they'll say, oh, you're a chicken. You're like, no, I'm just smart. All right? If you want to jump off that cliff, go for it. You know, but the odds of people making it are kind of slim. So you learn to recognize. Don't say, I'm afraid. Don't let that come out of your mouth. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. We don't have that spirit. Let's recognize where it came from. Amen? Fear, like I said, causes you to make irrational and crazy decisions. The bottom line is, what are we thinking about? The bottom line is, what is motivating us in our minds when we're doing something? See, it's easier to go with fear because fear is familiar to us. It's easier to just give into that and flow with that because that's what we're used to. But to go against that and stand up and say, no, I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear what can happen or what man can do to me. I'm going to give you just a few more scriptures you can write down, and then I'm going to close. These are scriptures, more scriptures that you can use when fear comes knocking at the door of your mind. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 is the second part of this, but Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. We say, so we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. So when fear comes against your mind, that's what you can say. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. I will not fear. In the Amplified, it says, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will, I love this. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So do we believe the word of God? Now, does that mean I'm telling you life is rosy and bad things never happen? No. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, when they do, what do we do? What is our response to what's going on in our lives or in the world? Verse 6 of that says, so we can take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Psalm 34, 15 and 17. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. So when you need help, just say, Father, your word declares that you deliver me from all my troubles. I'm trusting in you. No matter what I see, no matter what's going on around me, Lord, you deliver me from all my troubles. Does that mean you avoided trouble? It doesn't mean you avoided it. It means he delivered you from it. One more, Proverbs 3, 25 and 26. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible. Don't be afraid of sudden terror or destruction caused by the wicked when it comes. For you can rely on Adonai, and he will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Don't be afraid. Bible tells us over and over and over again, don't be afraid, don't fear. Fear not. Why? Because it doesn't come from God. So I want to encourage you, when you're tempted to fear, when you're tempted to let that take hold of your mind and your heart, stop it in its tracks and say, I will not fear. Fear is not from God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you that as we have studied your word this morning, built ourselves up in your word, Lord God, Father, that we embrace it. And we will continue in it. Father, we will take your word to heart and operate in the faith and in the power that you have given us. Lord, I just bless the people today. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for your love, Father, and I just honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.